Chapter 3, The Early Babylonians. The Bible account informs us that subsequent to the great flood, a grandson of Ham named Nimrod founded the beginning of his kingdom in Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calne in the land of Shinar, Genesis 10, verse 10. How then does this record agree with those of the Babylonians themselves? In the first place, the Babylonian records, as discovered by excavations, show that there existed in southeastern Mesopotamia in the 4th millennium BC a people called Sumerians, because the name for that part of Mesopotamia was Sumer, which is equivalent to the Shinar of the Bible record. The land was divided into several city-states, which were successively used as the royal cities where the kings dwelt. There are 11 royal cities recorded in their writings, and among them are Erech and Akkad, corresponding to the Erech and Akkad of the Bible. Ur was another royal city and will be considered later. Akkad was the royal city of Sargon, the greatest of the early kings, and called Sargon of Akkad in a clay inscription of Nabonidus, the last of the Babylonian kings. North of the land called Sumer was the land of Akkad, and these, becoming united in one, comprise what we call Babylonia, the ancient name for which was the land of Sumer and Akkad. Babel, or Babylon, as the Greeks afterwards called it, is, of course, well known to have existed on the river Euphrates at those parts, and its ruins have been excavated at the Mound of Babel. Here, many inscriptions of the great Nebuchadnezzar and other kings have been unearthed. Near to the site of Babylon, there is another mound called Bursi Nimrud, which covers the ancient city of Borsippa, mentioned by Nebuchadnezzar in some of his inscriptions. Further north on the river Tigris is a place called Nimrud, which is held to be the site of the ancient city Kala of the Assyrians. It will be seen that in both of these names, Bursi Nimrud and Nimrud, there is preserved to us the name of Nimrod himself. Here then, in the Babylonian records and remains, we are able to trace Babel, Erech, Akkad, Shinar, and Euphrates, together with the name of the founder, Nimrod. It is also thought that the river called Hiddekel in Genesis is what is now called the Tigris, the early name for which among the Babylonians and Assyrians was Idiklat. See Babylonian Life and History, page 11. The scripture narrative relates that the descendants of Noah found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone, and slime or bitumen had they for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven." Genesis 11, verses 2 through 4. Now, this statement is so remarkable in its accuracy as to local detail that it might have been a modern report of excavations made there today by archaeologists. All the buildings that have been unearthed on the site of ancient Babylonia answer exactly to this description, as they are made of brick, often with cementing of bitumen, and the temple towers, or ziggurats as they were called, form a prominent feature in every city of importance. There was no stone to quarry in that flat plain, so that they were compelled to use brick for stone. These bricks, consisting of earth or clay dried in the sun or in kilns. The temple towers were usually built in 7 stages, each of smaller size than the one beneath, similar in form to the brick-built stepped pyramid of Saqqara in Egypt. The remains of one of these towers has been excavated at the site of the city of Ur, and writing of this, Sir Leonard Woolley says, "The Sumerians set to work to build, using bricks instead of stone, and slime, bitumen, had they for mortar. A ziggurat, or tower, whose name might be called the Hill of Heaven, or the Mountain of God. In every important city, there was at least one such tower crowned by a sanctuary, the tower itself forming part of a larger temple complex. Of them all, the biggest and the most famous was the ziggurat at Babylon, which in Hebrew tradition became the Tower of Babel, now entirely destroyed. But its ground plan shows that it was but a repetition on a larger scale of the ziggurat at Ur, the best preserved of all these monuments." See Ur of the Chaldees, pages 118 and 119. This Ur of the Chaldees, the native city of Abraham, has for many years been the subject of extensive excavations, which have laid bare the foundations and ruins of its ziggurat, its defensive walls, and its numerous houses, business premises and shops, chapels, and even a school containing thousands of clay tablets inscribed with texts, mathematical tables, etc., which were the scholars' textbooks. From these, it is evident that it was no mean city that Abraham was called to leave, and go, he knew not whither, to be a wanderer in a strange country, dwelling in tents. He was indeed a stranger and pilgrim on the earth, and looked for another city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God, Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10. Sir Leonard Woolley himself seems to have been surprised at the nature of these early buildings. "We had expected," he says, "to find very modest dwellings of one story high and built of mud brick, consisting of 3 or 4 rooms opening on to a court. Instead of this, we discovered that in Abraham's time, men lived in houses built with walls of burnt brick below, rising in mud brick above, plaster and whitewash hiding the change of material, 2 stories high, and containing as many as 13 or 14 rooms round a central paved court, which supplied light and air to the house. We must revise considerably our ideas of the Hebrew patriarch when we learn that his earlier years were spent in such sophisticated surroundings. He was the citizen of a great city and inhabited the traditions of an ancient and highly organized civilization. See Ur of the Chaldees, pages 164 to 168. Although Ur itself had at times been the royal city, The seat of kingship had passed in Abraham's day to Babylon itself, and the ruling monarch was in all probability Hammurabi, who was one of the most famous of the early Babylonians. He drew up a remarkable code of laws, of which there were 282, which were inscribed on a pillar of basalt, now preserved in the Louvre in Paris. A copy also exists in the British Museum, and the wise and equitable nature of these laws shows that civilization had even then reached an advanced stage. The time of this king was about 1950 BC, and he answers to the Amraphel, king of Shinar, mentioned in the 14th of Genesis. Sir Leonard, during his excavations at Ur, discovered the remains of a stone pillar which, as he writes, enumerated the conquests of the famous king and lawgiver Hammurabi of Babylon, that Amraphel, who is mentioned in the 14th of Genesis as contemporary with Abraham. Hammurabi reduced Ur to subjection, and this was his war memorial set up in one of the chief temples of the city. See Ur of the Chaldees, pages 160 and 161. It has already been mentioned that the early inhabitants of Babylonia were Sumerians, descended from Nimrod and Ham, whereas Abraham was a descendant of Shem, or a Semitic, as these are called. How then do the records discovered in Babylonia agree with this? They are found to be in complete agreement and clearly show the gradual rise of a Semitic element in the population, which gained the ascendancy over the original Sumerians about the year 2000 BC, just before the time of Abraham and Hammurabi, who was also of Semitic descent. One further reference to the early Babylonians will close this chapter. After the death of Sarah, Abraham treated with the sons of Heth for a burying place, and after weighing to them the stated price of 400 shekels of silver, he obtained the title deeds to the property, the particulars of which are thus given in minute detail. And the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field, and the cave which was therein, and all the trees that were in the field that were in all the borders round about, were made sure unto Abraham for a possession in the presence of the children of Heth, before all that went in at the gate of the city. Genesis 23, verses 17 and 18. Doubtless, the purchase and transfer of this possession to Abraham was effected before witnesses, and was settled upon him and his heirs by contract. Is it true, then, that transfer of property was in those days thus recorded and safeguarded? Yes, indeed, and especially in the native land of Abraham. Thousands of contracts of sales and purchases in the form of inscribed clay tablets have been discovered in the course of excavations in Mesopotamia. These tablets, containing the particulars of the contracts, signed by witnesses and sealed, were enclosed in clay envelopes on which a duplicate of the contract was usually written. A large number of them, belonging to the period of Hammurabi and other early Babylonian kings, are to be seen in the British Museum.